This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan is on vacation. Today, voters in Connecticut's Democratic primary are choosing between a three-term senator and a political newcomer. The latest polls show Ned Lamont, a wealthy businessman, holding a slight lead over Joe Lieberman, the former vice presidential candidate. Traditional election year issues like gas prices, the economy, even health care are not dominating factors in this race. The Iraq War is. And that's why the Connecticut race is being closely watched by strategists in both parties. They're trying to determine how important the war will be for voters in November and in 2008. Today, we'll step back from Connecticut and look at how the Iraq War is affecting voters across the country. Is it a top issue for most Americans? It is more energizing for Democrats than Republicans or independents. Will domestic concerns prove to be a bigger deciding factor for most American voters? We'd like to hear from Republicans, Democrats, and independents today. How much will the Iraq War influence the way you vote in November? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And you can send us an email to talk@npr.org. Later in the program, we'll be talking about Alaska's aging pipelines. But first, voters and Iraq. Joining us here in Studio 3A are Andrew Kohut, Director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Thanks for being with us, Andy.
Happy to be with you, Lynn.
And Jennifer Duffy, editor of the Cook Political Report. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
So, Andy, let me start with you. Is the Connecticut primary a harbinger of campaigns to come?
Well, I think it's probably a better harbinger, or might be a better harbinger, especially if Lamont wins, of what the primaries will be like in 2008. But it may not be all that indicative of what the actual congressional votes are all about. Iraq is a very, very important issue, but there are a lot of important issues. This is a election season chock full of concerns for the American public: the economy, gasoline prices, health care, a general sense that Washington isn't getting anything done. Iraq is way up there, and sort of the poster child for our not succeeding at what we try to do. But this will not be a single issue. November, in my view, as I look at the polls today.
Where does Iraq rank? Is it the top issue? Top five?
Oh, it's really near the top, but it's got a lot of competition from these other issues that I name. No greater issue is just the general sense that Washington is not succeeding. The president has a 35 to 38, maybe 40% approval rating. Congress is very poorly regarded. And in most polls, only 25, 26% are saying the country is on the right track. Only that number of people satisfied with national conditions.
Could what you are describing at this moment, could that change between now and November?
Of course it could. If there's some dramatically good news, some turnaround in Iraq, or some sense that things are moving in the right direction, capturing Osama bin Laden, some sense that gasoline prices are going to begin to stabilize, if not go down. All of those things are in the possibility, a realm of possibility. Are there probable? I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller, but if things stay the way they are, we have a really very discontented country, which is always a recipe for political change.
Yeah. Jennifer, in what other political races is the war playing a major part? Are there any others?
Well, I think that Connecticut for now is one of these races where it is front and center. It's what earned Senator Lieberman this primary. It's certainly not the only issue being discussed in this race. I think that Iraq is a question that's going to come up in every race. I think every candidate needs to have a position. But it, again, as Andrew said, certainly not the only issue in any of these races. But in polling, pretty much across the board, when you ask voters what their top concern is, Iraq is usually first. The ABC News Wall Street Journal, ABC News Washington Post poll that was released just today, Iraq was first at 21%, but it was tied with the economy at 21%.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular states, though, where this issue rises to the top besides Connecticut, or where there's more sort of voter anger, let's say, about this issue that could become an energizing factor or a mobilizing factor for the Democrats, for instance?
Well, I think it's almost everywhere. If Democrats, if there is one issue that they can agree on and be angry about, it's Iraq, and they are joined by more than a few Republicans on this. So again, I think if you are a candidate who has taken a fairly hard line on Iraq, you know, it's that things are going fine and stay the course, I think that you probably are a little bit more vulnerable than somebody who says, well, we've done what we had to do, but now we have to look at either getting out or changing what we do, especially in the advent of civil war. I guess my point is any candidate who is very rigid on this issue, and I mean that at both ends of the political mm-hmm. spectrum, is going to have a problem.
Has too much attention been paid to Connecticut? Is too much being made of it?
I had that debate in my office this morning. In some ways it has, because it's nationalized this race, and the war was a catalyst in this race, but it is not the root cause of Senator Lieberman's problems. You know, he's made two national bids in the last 6 years. He hasn't been home much. They find him to be perhaps a little too moderate for a very, very blue state. Iraq's at the top of the heap, but this was a case that was 6 years in the making.
Yeah. So in some sense, you're saying the Iraq war can make a candidate vulnerable, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, that's Andy.
Well, I think that's true. And the other thing about the Iraq war as a campaign issue, which makes it so difficult, is that the parties are so polarized. Republicans and Democrats have almost completely opposite views about the war. And independents fall somewhere in between them. In some cases, they're closer to the Democrats. In some ways, they're closer to the Republicans. But going out and speaking to all people, as what you have to do in a general election, as opposed to Democrats or Republicans, what you do in primaries, gets really tricky. Because if you're going to try to appeal to the other side and you say, well, we might have made a mistake, or be equivocal about whether we made a mistake, 83% of Republicans think we didn't make a mistake in going to war, but the overwhelming number, almost the same percentage of Democrats, think we did, and their independents are evenly divided. Same on the issue of will we succeed, same on the issue of should we get out now. So it's really tough to talk to all of the people with one voice, especially when you have these swing voters who are going to the independents, by the way, are going to decide this election because they decide all elections. And it's hard to speak harder on this issue than any other issue that I can think of. Certainly harder than it was in Vietnam, when Americans lost faith in Vietnam. Republicans and Democrats more or less agreed. Republicans and Democrats don't agree on Iraq.
So you think the division is different this time? It's not similar to the divisions we saw during the Vietnam War.
This is the most partisan, polarizing military involvement we've had in recent modern history.
So, Jennifer, then it's just an extension of the partisan polarization that we've been seeing over the last number of years anyway, then. Is that what you're saying?
Well, exactly. And if you look at what's going on in Michigan today and what's going on in Connecticut, what will go on in Rhode Island in September, you see incumbents getting primaries because they are viewed as too moderate. And that's just one more sort of outgrowth of this polarization.
We're talking about the Iraq war as a political issue. If you'd like to join the discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. Let's go to Ed, and Ed is in San Francisco. Hi, Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I consider myself a moderate Democrat, and but I find myself wanting to sit this election out, although I know that's not the right answer, because I feel the Democratic caucus failed us in not asking questions when we were cynically manipulated to going into Iraq. I mean, I don't think the answer at this point is leaving Iraq prematurely. But why weren't the questions? There were thousands of us. I demonstrated in San Francisco and in New York. questioning the reason for going into Iraq. We knew there was no connection to Al-Qaeda. We knew that there were people investigating weapons of mass destruction and that they only needed a couple of months. Yet somehow the Democrats wrapped themselves in the American flags and stood behind the president in this great need to go to war, which many of us question. So I feel, you know, I have two senators, Senator Feinstein and Senator Boxer, that I'm not inclined to support, because they didn't question. Where was their staff? Where was the Democratic caucus? How can they be manipulated? And many of us in America weren't, and
right.
were convinced of what actually in the end proved to be true.
All right, Ed, thanks so much for that calling and reflecting a level of Democratic anger that we know is out there. And, you know, how deep is that anger within the Democratic Party? I mean, Ed is saying, I'm inclined not to even vote.
Well, it's pretty substantial. And that's why somebody like Lamont, who doesn't have to accept the man who's running against Lieberman, doesn't have to deal with this issue of, you know, I voted for it, but now I'm against it. And it really sets up an interesting proposition for 2008, should he succeed, because it will send a signal to the insiders that real anti-war candidates who have those bona fides could do very well among the strong Democratic constituencies in the next in primary season. But there's no question that Democrats don't feel that their party has done as good a job of standing up for their principles as Republicans feel about their party leadership.
And if Lieberman wins, will the message be as clear, or will it just muddle the picture?
I think there will be less reverberations if Lieberman wins. It'll say that there's a centrist wing of the Democratic Party. The Democrats only vote on one issue. Those kinds of things. But it's a bigger story. It's a bigger reaction, bigger ripples.
Jennifer,
I also think if Lieberman were to pull out this win, it would also send a message about nationalizing elections. You know, special elections, primaries in states. Voters in states want to make up their minds. They don't want national groups to do it for them.
We are talking about Iraq as a defining issue in American politics. We're going to continue our discussion after a short break. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're talking today about the politics of war. Candidates in both parties are trying to figure out how the conflict in Iraq will influence voters at the polls this November. We want to hear from you, whether you are a Democrat, Republican, or independent. How important is Iraq as you consider how you will vote in a few months? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address, talk@npr.org. Still with us are Andrew Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, and Jennifer Duffy, editor of the Cook Political Report. In the face of growing public concern over how and when the Iraq war will end, some Republican politicians are choosing to distance themselves from their party and their president. For more on Republican positioning in this election season, we go to Whit Ayers, president of Ayers McHenry & Associates, a GOP polling firm based in Virginia. He joins us from his office. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Good. Recently, Senator John Thune, the Republican senator from South Dakota, said mistakes have been made in the Iraq war. Also, Maryland GOP Senate candidate Michael Steele criticized the president's handling of the war. Has the war become a liability for Republican candidates?
Well, you're clearly going to have some Republicans showing some independent judgment, but I don't think you're going to see a large number of Republicans opposing the president on the war or opposing what should be done now. So much of the political impact of Iraq, Lynn, depends upon how the questions get defined. If it gets defined as whether or not we should withdraw immediately, that significantly helps Republicans. Fewer than one out of five Americans want an immediate withdrawal, but a third of Democrats want an immediate withdrawal. And that puts Democrats very much at odds with the feeling of the country, where we want some return on our enormous investment in resources and lives.
Now, it's very important to the White House that Republicans win. So I've read that one strategy the White House can take is to allow there to be some distance, to not get concerned about that in any way. At the same with the larger long-term goal that more Republicans will win.
I don't think you'll see the administration berating political candidates for demonstrating a measure of independence from the White House.
Some Republicans are not even sharing their party affiliation on TV ads. What is that a sign of?
Well, I don't think you would find that occurring in Mississippi or Alabama, but in Connecticut and Maine, it demonstrates that blue states are getting bluer, and it's becoming increasingly challenging for Republicans to win in Democratic-leaning states.
Yeah. You know, it's a tricky situation for Republican candidates to try and sort of distinguish themselves from the party and perhaps from the president's foreign policy decisions and yet still stand firm as Republicans and win. I mean, what are you hearing from candidates who are trying to ride that line?
There is no mileage in Republican candidates running against the president, and you're not going to see that, I don't think. What voters want, I think, is a loyal Republican who is not going to go in lockstep with the president on every decision, on every issue, but is still going to be generally supportive of the president. And I think that's a position you'll find most Republican candidates taking.
Do you think the war can energize the Republican base?
Energize is not quite the right word. If they think there's a prospect of Democrats getting in and forcing a pullout, regardless of the circumstances in Iraq and regardless of the number of lives lost, then I think you'll find Republicans rallying around to oppose what they think is a very unwise policy.
All right. Let's take a call now. We're going to go to Monica, and I believe she's calling from Indiana. Is that right, Monica?
Yes, it is.
Great. Go ahead.
I have the number one issue in our area is, number one, first, the war. Secondly, it would be the gas prices. In our area, it is $3.29, and it seems to be continuously going up, especially on weekends, by the way, and then it comes down during the week, it seems. And, you know, I have friends that are Republican, and they're just so disgusted with the way things have been going. They feel like they've been lied to. They feel just a whole bunch of different feelings. And I have always most generally been a Republican, but more or less a swing voter, you might say, whoever I think is the best, and most generally it has been Republican. And my question would be, let's say that the Democrats come out on top, whether it be the presidential election coming up or whatever it may be. Let's say that the war escalates. Let's say that the scenario comes out, the Middle East, I call it a crisis right now, turns out bad. Let's say that they pull out even, and it turns out bad. Are the Democrats going to be left setting the bag if they come out on top on these elections, even though they weren't the majority when we got on into all of this? And would it be best if the Republicans just stayed in and suffered the consequences of their decisions?
All right, Monica, good question. We'll pose that to our guests. Whit Ayers, how would you respond to Monica's question?
Well, I think it's an interesting scenario for the 2008 presidential election, whether or not it helps Republicans or hurts Republicans if Democrats take over Congress. I think Democrats are incapable of doing some things that would seem really crazy in the eyes of most of the people in the country, and so it might perversely help Republicans in 2008 if the Democrats took over the House. But I don't think that's going to happen, and I think what your caller has asked for is probably going to occur, and that is Republicans will continue to make policy for the next 2 years.
Well, I was just going to ask you if what Republicans are thinking about the war as an issue in terms of its potential for unifying the Democrats, being a rallying point for Democrats.
I'm not sure it's possible to unify Democrats, but I'll let a Democrat speak on that issue.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us today, Whit.
My pleasure.
Whit Ayers is the president of Ayers McHenry & Associates. That's a GOP polling firm based in Virginia, and he joined us from his office there. My other guest, Andrew Kohut, is the director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Jennifer Duffy, editor of the Cook Political Report. If you'd like to give us a call to join the conversation, the number's 800-989-8255. Jennifer and Andy, I'd like to pick up on that last call, since that woman identified herself as a swing voter. And Andy, you were saying earlier that it's going to be the independents, the swing voters. She sounded like she swung a little more to the Democrats than to the Republicans. I wasn't sure. But interesting that she seemed to be saying that she's a swing voter swinging away from the Republicans.
I was struck by what Whit Ayers had to say, that the Republicans have to seem loyal but not in lockstep with the president with respect to Iraq. That's not an easy trick. For the Democrats, they can be critical of an anti-war, but they can't come across as seeming radical to people like our last caller, because the Democrats have this legacy of being seen as the party that's not tough enough to deal with issues like this. So this is not an easy issue or a set of issues for either party. The Republicans are perhaps have a more difficult position, because there are an awful lot of independents out there who want something more than Republicans not just being in lockstep with the president, because they're very distressed about Iraq. But what their distress is over is an issue that the Democrats really have, if they can grab onto it, is not so much whether we withdraw right away or, you know, what the strategy is, but the whole question of the competence, how good a job or poor a job the president and ultimately the Republicans have done on this issue.
Jennifer Duffy, do you see the Democrats developing a unified position?
You know, it's interesting that this began last fall when Congressman John Murtha of Pennsylvania, who is highly respected for his knowledge of defense issues, came out and said it was time to get out. It was time to get out now. And rather than being a rallying cry for the party, it seemed to divide the party a little bit. The problem with Democrats right now is once they start going down this road and talking about Iraq, you see the divisions within the party versus, you know, the faction that wants to get out now and the faction that wants to set a deadline, you know, 12 months from now. And then, you know, another group that would like to start implementing a strategy to get out with no defined deadline. They keep getting caught in this argument, and it prevents them from having a unified message on Iraq, which, you know, doesn't give voters an alternative that they may be comfortable with. One more interesting number out of the ABC News poll today was, who has a clear plan for Iraq? Only 27% thought Democrats did.
And that's of both parties.
That's of both parties, right.
That's not good news, I wouldn't think, for the Democrats, if even members of their own party feel they have no unified position or a unified plan.
No, and this poll that Jennifer is referring to is very good for the Democrats in lots of ways. They have like a 13-point lead on who you're going to vote for, a Democrat or a Republican in your congressional district. It's a very big margin. But when the pollsters asked, which party do you have more confidence, who do you trust more in Iraq, it was a toss-up. 43% picked the Republicans and 40% picked the Democrats. The Democrats don't particularly have a good, positive image on this issue, even though the public is so angry with President Bush about it, the public at large. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Let's go to another call. Dennis, calling from Everett, Massachusetts. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm an independent from Massachusetts. I voted for George Bush in the last two elections. I would never vote for him again. My issue is not just the Iraq war, it's the Middle East, and in a word, it's violence. Violence has become our daily menu on TV. We see civilians getting killed, attacked deliberately, being in the Middle East, so-called, and I hate this term, collateral damage, killing hundreds of civilians in Lebanon. Day after day after day, we see burning cars and children and civilians being killed in Iraq. You know, I'm a Catholic, and I'm motivated by my compassion and my love for human beings. And this is just horrible. The world cannot go on and on and on like this.
Dennis, do you feel the Democrats have an
answer? Not really. I mean, I couldn't vote for John Kerry, but I'll tell you one thing. I hope to God that Ned Lamont wins tomorrow, and I think he will. It's not an issue with me what party somebody belongs to right now. I want to see a human being who respects the sanctity of life from A to W, from abortion to war. Even here in Boston, our murder rate of teenagers has gone up again. A former student of mine, Anna Perry, was shot in the face and killed while she was at the memorial for her brother, who was killed 4 years previous to that. I mean, she was a beautiful person. Someone just shot her in the face. There's got to be a nonviolent transformation. And I'm not just talking idealistically. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. believed this, and he showed it can work. Gandhi believed in it, and certainly Jesus believed in it because he never used violence.
Dennis, thanks so much for your call.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for raising those issues, which are clearly important issues to everybody. Not sure any political party really has what Dennis is looking for.
Well, we have a Bush voter from Massachusetts who's going to vote for Lamont, a measure of how much emotion there is around these issues and in these times when there's so many awful things going on in the world.
Yeah. Let me just remind our listeners that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And if I could just go back to the issue of the Iraq War as a political issue, I think one of the things that maybe we're hearing from listeners, and I have an email here that I think reflects this as well, is that it's not only the war itself that's bothering people, but the issues around that. Here's one from Dustin in Oklahoma. As an Oklahoma Democrat, I'm already in the minority, but around here it seems that even conservatives are starting to turn on the war. For many, it's not so much the war itself, it's the drain on manpower in the fields of law enforcement and other public utility sectors that men from the armed forces often populate. I think more and more conservatives and liberals see that it's not just the war itself, it's all the sectors of daily life that it affects. So as you both were saying earlier, I think the Iraq War is one of a number of important issues, but the Iraq War affects those issues as well.
It affects resources, a sense on the part of the public that domestic issues have been overlooked. It has certainly made Americans more restrained about what we're willing to do to deal with other international issues, a little jump up in isolationism in our polls and in other polls. It's not going well. It's a high-cost operation, and it has lots of consequences.
Jennifer, do you have a sense of what it is the public is most concerned about with the war? I mean, is it that there isn't an exit strategy, the broader Middle East crisis, the deaths involved?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. I think that the war, you know, places a great weight on the American psyche. I mean, even when, you know, the economy was fairly humming along, the president wasn't getting any credit for that. And a large part of that is the war and people's pessimism about the direction it's going and how do we get out. And then you look at survey data, I'm sure Andrew has seen some of the same thing, is people are very pessimistic about the future. You know, that they don't see things getting better in 6 months or 12 months. And I think it's the weight of Iraq. So it does manage to permeate just about every facet of life.
Here's an email from Nancy in Detroit. The Iraq War should be an issue in elections. The war touches everyone in one way or another. It affects countless aspects of this country's spending and priorities and politics today. Citizens must engage and be part of deciding which way this situation in Iraq turns in the coming months and years. We need candidates and politicians to be straight about what they envision for our presence in Iraq. Either one of you, do you see a candidate that's really punching through the sort of political divide in any way that is creating a middle space here that people might go for?
I don't think you see that sort of thing in congressional elections, or mm-hmm. there may be some that are out of sight. What you see in this particular presidential election, midterm election, is something that's not common. and that is the election being nationalized, with national issues at the top of the list, Iraq playing a more higher than usual role. We have the single highest percentage in our poll going back to six midterms of people saying, when I cast a ballot in my district, I'm going to be voting against the President of the United States. It's three times as high as any other time in which we've asked this question, and I think it goes all the way back to 1990.
And yet, according to other poll data, you've said that would be mostly Democrats saying that, right? Because Republicans are still...
It's a mix of Democrats. It's certainly Democrats, but it's also some independents. And this election is going to be decided by a very small number. It's not going to be a landslide one way or another.
If you can both stay with us for a few minutes longer, we're going to keep this discussion going past the break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today we are talking about that race in Connecticut and about the Iraq War as a political issue with my guests Andrew Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, and Jennifer Duffy, editor of the Cook Political Report. And, of course, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 800-989-8255. And, Andy, before the break, you were talking about the fact that you're seeing in polling that what people are voting on in this is they're voting against the president.
In very large numbers. And what we see in this in the polls about the election and the polls about the state of the country is so much passion. For the first time in a long time, we see more Democrats saying they're enthusiastic about voting, more Democrats than Republicans. Republicans almost always have an advantage in enthusiasm when it comes to voting. They generally win the turnout war. This time we see the Democrats enthused. We see the Republicans dispirited. As you know, Lynn, we do a survey about people's news habits and what they follow, and we found this precipitous decline among Republicans following international news and news about Iraq compared to 2 years ago. Hmm. So, you know, Democrats, no different, but, you know, Republican being dispirited. Not walking away from this story, but, you know, understandably demoralized by the climate of opinion, as the man in Oklahoma said, the caller in Oklahoma said, you know, they're quite aware of how people feel about these issues. And on the other hand, the Democrats so angry that we have these record numbers of people saying they want to vote against the president.
Yeah, let's take a call from Peter in Minneapolis. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I had a point about that no one seems to be talking about, and that's populism. If you look at a lot of the candidates that are going around in the Democratic Party, you'll find that there's a populist streak, especially the ones that are supported by the so-called netroots. And, you know, you think about it. I mean, Lamont's one. He's got kind of a Mr. Smith goes to Washington character. I mean, you've got Tester in Montana, who is this whiskey-drinking rancher. I mean, even Howard Dean, you could say he was a kind of candidate like that because, you know, he's a pro-gun, straight-talking, kind of shoot-from-the-hip kind of guy. And populists require, you know, you be upfront and forceful in the way you do your politics, which is different from, you know, going down a checklist of issues. So if you compare the two, you know, it's kind of the opposite of the DLC model where, you know, you pick your lists and you kind of triangulate. Hmm. You know, the populist approaches it from a totally different perspective.
And is that?
And I think that's one of Lieberman's problems is he doesn't realize that these people are not just someone you can, you know, this is the issue that I can shove around them and then they'll be quiet. It doesn't work that way.
All right. Well, Peter from Minnesota, which we know is one of the birthplaces of populism, raising the point that perhaps what we're seeing is a new kind of populism emerging. I don't know if that's the case. What do you think, Jennifer?
He is right. There is some populist streaks in a lot of the netroot-backed candidates, but I think more than that, it's straight talk. I think the voters of both parties want more straight talk from their politicians, you know. And I don't think that this is a repudiation of the DLC model or moderate Republicans. It's just they're sort of sick of politicians dancing around issues, and they want somebody who will be blunt even if what they're saying is not terribly popular.
Is that your take, Andy?
Well, I think there is a desire for among the Democrats to hear someone, you know, speak the gospel. Again, I'll come back to the risk on that with regard to Iraq is that it might scare independents.
Okay. Well, thanks to both of you for being with us. Andrew Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, and Jennifer Duffy, editor of the Cook Political Report.